Welcome to Energy Matters, exploring awakening to your authentic self and finding purpose through mind, body, and soul. With your hosts, Cody Edner and David Gandelman. Brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Energy Matters. And in case you didn't know, we actually record our intros for these episodes after the episode, which is how we know what's going to happen.
Cody, you just blew our cover.
Man. Let us tell you what this episode is going to be about before it happens. So we've got a great one today. We got to interview, I'm going to see if I can pronounce her name right, Maria Jose Flacke, also known as MJ. And she's the founder of Mujer Holística, a leading website in Latin America focused on wellness, spirituality, and consciousness entrepreneurship, which is a pretty cool topic that we cover during this interview. In 3 years, Mujer Holística has become a leader in its field in countries such as Mexico and Colombia, and it has an online following of over 600,000 people and over 700,000 page views a month. Maria's or MJ's mission is to empower women in Latin America to help them become conscious creators of their own reality. And it was quite the episode. MJ is very authentic, honest, straightforward. And we got a chance to discuss her kind of rise, her very fast and rapid rise into the spotlight as a spiritual teacher, meditation teacher, a business coach, a health coach. She teaches on a wide array of subjects. And Cody, I just thought it was a really cool episode. I learned so much. I was like, can you keep talking about how you built your audience to be so big?
Yeah, it was really a fascinating episode to hear her journey, really from a pursuit of finding her own wellness and her restoring her own health, and then just her sharing of that and how that grew and just exponentially became this big thing. And it was really, really fun. And I found her to be really genuine and to be very candid in her conversation with us. And that was a real refreshing to just sit and talk with someone that was being totally authentic about not only the excitement of growth and sharing in that way, but some of the difficulties and the challenges of being out there in the way that she is. And I found it really fascinating. So I hope you all enjoy it as much as I did, and I assume as you did, David.
Yeah, definitely. And she is authentic compared to all our other guests who are a bunch of fakes.
Well, now, I was not implying that, but, to this episode. You know.
And even though we probably should edit out that I just said that, we won't. I also want to mention, Pat, I want to pat you on the back, Cody, and me. Last week in one day, Energy Matters had over 1,000 streams just through iTunes. So that was pretty cool. So we want to thank everyone for all the amazing support and for listening. And actually, I have a neighbor whose name is also Maria, and I was teaching a workshop at the studio in San Diego, and the day I was moving into my new place, I hear, David! And I turn around, and it's this woman, Maria, who had been in my class and who had been emailing me about connecting to have a one-on-one session, and there she was as my neighbor. And she was like, hey, I've been listening to all your episodes of the podcast. Love them. We listen while we're on road trips, and I've learned so much about all these different topics. And I was like, wow, my neighbor is telling me this. How cool
is that?
That's
pretty cool. Yeah,
that's great. She was like, Cody's really good and you're okay.
Yeah, right.
And I also want to mention that, as always, every episode of Energy Matters is brought to you by Cody's website, which is intuitivevision.net, and mine, groundedmind.com. Let's get into it. MJ. Hey, MJ, welcome.
Hi.
It's so good to have you. And you are in Amsterdam right now, right?
Yes, it's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
For being here. And we were chatting a little bit before we started, and you are headed to Madrid for, can you just tell us a moment what this conference is?
It's a conference on spirituality. It's called Being One. It's spirituality and self-development. And I'm really excited. There's a lot of really good speakers, and I'm excited to find out more what it is about. I just heard it's a great conference, so I have to be there.
So I just want to start, because I think a lot of people listening to this are probably like Cody and I and you, who would love to just travel around the world and go to amazing spiritual conferences and teach. Is that basically what you do? You travel, you teach spirituality, meditation, and just get to live this amazing life that you do.
That is what I do. I travel all year long. And, you know, from the beginning, it was when I started my coaching business, it was one of my goals. Travel is so important for me, and seeing different cultures and just being open to the world and exploring the world and opening up to something bigger was always in my top priorities. So when I started coaching, I said, well, why not online, right?
And so do you feel like that you are literally just living the life that you envisioned you wanted to live?
I think I am. Although, David, I have to say, sometimes I don't find myself being grateful enough for it. You know, we can easily take it for granted and get caught up in the little things, and, you know, like the jet lag and take another flight here and another flight there and the time zones, et cetera, et cetera. And when I do actually stop, or when people ask me this question, it just makes me freeze and say, you know what? It is true. Mm. I have to be thankful for it.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're so lucky. As we were talking before the show, you're like, yeah, I'm in Amsterdam, then I'm flying to Madrid for a conference. I spend a lot of time in Bali. I live in Costa Rica. Do you actually live in Costa Rica right now?
I have an apartment, which I'm about to let go of next month, because it really makes no sense for a nomad to rent an apartment, because I'm never there. So I tried it for a year. I swore I was going to stay put in one place for a year, but it's just the world calls, right? And so I ended up spending all my time outside of the apartment. So yes, technically I do live in Costa Rica, at least for the next couple of months. That is my home base. But I was born there. And so my father is there, and I have some family there. So it will always be home for me.
Wow, so cool. And so can we get into how all of this happened? I was looking at your Facebook page, and you have over 1 million followers, and from the people that I know that take your courses, they absolutely love you and swear by all the work that you do. And they were like, David, you got to interview MJ. She's so cool. And I was like, she might be too cool. But you said yes anyway.
And I spoke to you guys before, and I know you're cool.
There we go. And so how did you get into teaching meditation? And so you teach meditation, spirituality, mm-hmm. and entrepreneurship, right? So you kind of put all those together. How did you get into doing that, and what drove you in this direction?
It's been such a long and short journey at the same time. It's been short time-wise, but it's been long in experience and in walking it, right? So I began about 10 years ago, like, exploring spirituality because of, one, I had a lot of health issues, like fibromyalgia, very high anxiety levels, depression, et cetera. A lot of, I come from a family with a lot of issues and a lot of problems, et cetera, like a lot of people really, right? And I was trying to cope the best way possible. Like I couldn't imagine my life as it was at that time for it to continue being the same way. Like I was feeling like, if this is going to be my life for the rest of my life, then I really am not sure I want to live, right? And so I don't know how, like one day, and I really don't know how, the word meditation just appeared. And this was maybe more than 10 years ago, maybe like 12 years ago. And especially in Costa Rica, it just wasn't something as mainstream as it is today, where we have apps and, you know, I don't know, Oprah and Deepak are doing meditations for free, right? 12 years ago, it wasn't really that way. And so I Googled it online, and I found a meditation teacher right around the corner from my house, the only one in the area. And she is still one of my really, really close teachers. And I started that path in spirituality, and it just came, you know, God or the universe just works its way around and comes at the perfect time, right? And it just appeared and I started with this and it wasn't like I started meditating and my life got better right away. My life got worse for a while until I hit like rock bottom, but I was already interested in a lot of spirituality and a lot of self-development. And when the time came when my depression was like the lowest and my anxiety, I just one day was like, you know, I have to take control of my life. And I prayed and I prayed a lot. I prayed and prayed and prayed every single day. Like, God, please help me. Please help me find something that I like to do. And please help me, like, just show me my purpose. Like, show me something, show me anything. Right. And one day I found out about the health coaching program and it just, again, just popped up and I Googled it and I loved it. And I said, this is for me. This is what I want to do. And my journey started there. That's where my healing really began. Right. And from then it's just been sharing my story with the world. And it just, I think people just identified with it and they liked my story and the way I told it. But it's so important for me, Cody and David, to just let everybody know that I'm not like, I don't pretend to be a guru or I don't want people to think that I have the ultimate, you know, secret for life because I don't. I share my story and the things that have helped me. And I'm still in the same process of growing. And as my business grows and as my following grows and as I grow as well, I still face obstacles. I still face challenges. And sharing those challenges is what I think what makes it real. And what people have really grown to like love in me and the work that I do, right?
Yeah. So MJ, once you made that decision and you found health coaching, you decided you wanted to do that and bring that to the world. You also started to take care of your health. What did that journey of you healing yourself and kind of finding yourself really look like?
Wow, it's always a difficult journey to get to know yourself, right? It's a long path. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful path, but it's not easy. It's not like you're smiling the whole way. You actually sometimes have to face things that are difficult but it's also beautiful and the right people come and you meet amazing people and you're nurtured and you're held. And for me, it meant a lot of one, finding the foods that really caused inflammation in my body. That was really, really, really important. Like food allergies or foods that just didn't go with me and finding habits. Something I found was that my symptoms were really tied to my lack of sleeping properly, eating at the right times. And so really trying to like find a schedule in my life and find times where I know I have to eat and I know I have to take care of myself. And when my anxiety levels start like really spiking up, then say, you know, MJ, this is time to like go get a massage or go to sleep or meditate for a while or just have some tea, but really time to unwind, right? And making my health a priority. Because as I was healing initially, when I just started sharing my work with the world, it was very easy for me to put myself first and my health because it was what I was doing. It was my main focus, right? But as my following grew, I started once again, it's like I did a full 360. I went back to not taking care of myself because I was too busy working, right? So now right. I'm starting again. For the past 6 months to a year, I've really made it my intention to start again taking care of myself first, more than anything else around me, because, you know, health is always a reflection of balance in your life in general.
Right. Yeah. And that's so important. It's so easy when we start to become that teacher or, you know, have a following to kind of not take care of ourselves in a sense. And daily meditation really is one of those things that brings you back to a mindset of self-care and really reassessing where you are. And I know you teach meditation. What's your practice look like? What kind of meditation do you like to practice? And kind of what's your daily routine?
My meditation is really, well, and also what I teach is very, very different every day, right? I'm not really one to stick with like mantras every single day as I don't know. I like variety. So I do visualizing, I do breath work, and I do mantras. I do a mix of them all. And there are certain days when I don't really feel in the mornings like meditating. So I will maybe like read a passage from A Course in Miracles, or I'll just light some candles and do maybe just sitting there quiet in silence, right? There will always be something every single day, but usually my meditation practice is a mix of visualizing or breath work. That's what I like to do the most, like just through just concentration on the breath.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating, MJ, your story, because Cody and I have had a few guests on this show who have a very similar experience as you do, because what happened was we had one guest, Dr. Robin Berzin, who, and also Lynn Manning, who had their own health issues. And through those health issues, they found their life path. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this over and over again. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons that you have such a large following and audience, is because so many people are going through exactly what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And then through their own journeys, they grow and they find a sense of purpose. And is that what you've noticed with your clients and your students and your audience, that they're going through what you went through and you're just kind of a step or two ahead, showing them, hey, you can make it through this point in your life? Is it a lot of physical stuff they're going through? Is it spiritual? What do you hear about the most?
Well, that's why I started even showing people or teaching people or helping people through entrepreneurship and building their business. Because as I was going maybe like one step ahead, then I would start getting a lot of emails asking me, well, can you show me how then to build a business? And I think I want to share this, whatever technique I learned, more with other people. And that's how it grew. But to answer your second question, I do think that people are going, you know what? I find that it's not, well, at least on my email, like on my inbox, it's not as much health issues as it is existence issues, life purpose issues, mm-hmm. anxiety, lack of discipline, lack of knowing, like, what am I doing with my life? I get a lot of emails from people very frustrated with relationships and wanting to change, or knowing that they want a change in their life, but they're just not sure how to start. And as more things on self-development become more mainstream, people are realizing there's another option. But the thing is, a lot of people don't know where to start. Like, what's step one? Like, I know I have to have a high self-esteem. I know I have to love myself. I know I have to be spiritual. Like, I know I should meditate, but what does that mean? Like, where do I start? Right.
So where do they start with you?
I have a course. I have a free course. Cool. It's free. And it's actually been one of those things that's just been a gift, right? About a year and a half ago, I did a free course. That's an 8-week course on how to become a holistic woman, which is the name of my website, Mujer Holística. And it was like the step-by-step of what I did to feel better, which was like start eating correctly, start meditating, you know, practice gratitude and abundance. And so that's where usually I take them to start. And that course has been like a real, real blessing in my life, because it's just something I wanted to give people, because I got that question so much, like, where do I start? So I said, well, I'm going to create this course. And now I think more than 120,000 women have done that course. Incredible. And it's just really very real. It's just my story and what I did. There's nothing fancy about the videos, or there's nothing fancy about the story, but somehow I think it's a reflection, right? And so a lot of people have felt like it's really transformed their lives.
How do you find yourself dealing with like that much attention and energy? Because 120,000 people, a million people, that do you notice that starts to affect you, or trying to respond to each email or every question? Yeah. There tends to be like an energy of need, right? And mm-hmm. that comes in that. How have you noticed you've dealt with that? Or how do you deal with it?
I'm actually learning how to deal with this.
Yeah.
That's been my biggest challenge for about a year and a half now. And I'm just starting to find the balance there. It's definitely taken me a while. That's why I started to get sick again. I started to have health issues again, because I had this need or this feeling that I had to help everybody, that I had to, you know, answer every email, that I had to be there, that I have to give and give and give and give, but I wasn't really nourishing myself either. So it's something that I am learning, but I have to be very honest. I'm always very honest. So I have to be very honest about this. It's been a lot more difficult than I thought. And it's something that a lot of people are born for, you know, born for TV, born for to be public media, you know, exposure, and who love that, the attention. I've never been a person that has just loved the attention. I'm more like the quiet one, the one who always wants to be on my own, right? So it's definitely been, I think just boundaries, limits have been a lot of the lesson behind it, putting limits on what I can do and what I can't do, and what I can help and with what I can't help, and limits around my time, my health, my, you know, getting food, getting proper nutrition, nourishment. I travel a lot to Bali because of that, because I find that it's a place that just really where I can be myself and just relax and I don't know, and go back to earth and go back to spirituality. Right. Yeah. And it's just something that it's a balance I'm starting to learn. I think if we speak again in 5 years, maybe I can tell you how I managed it, but it's something that I'm definitely dealing with right now. And it's, I don't know. If you have any advice, then
let's imagine the version of you in 5 years that dealt with it like really well, and then the version that dealt with it really poorly. Like you have like jewels in your teeth and a huge ego, and bling all over. You got like 72 online courses going at once.
Or the one that's hiding in a cave in the middle of nowhere in the Himalayan mountains, never right. Gonna appear.
Conspiracy theorist.
That is a tough thing, though, how to handle the attention that comes your way when you start to become that focal point. Mm-hmm. And especially, I think, when you're teaching mm-hmm. something, it seems to be a lot in that attention.
Yeah, Cody and I have to deal with it every day. Mm-hmm. Our moms, my mom's constantly amazing, amazing. You get a Facebook like every month. It's hard. It's like, wow.
No, and keeping it real, you know, because I make mistakes just like everybody else. And there's moments when I don't want to meditate like everybody else. And there's moments when I get disconnected and you know, and lose my temper or my anxiety spikes. And it's one of those things where I say to myself, like, well, you're a teacher, you're not supposed to be doing this, right? So it's also the balance in there. And like, where's the compassion towards me? Where am I, you know, walking this path as well as a human being, and allow myself to make mistakes and trying not to be so perfect as well, because, you know, like I'm supposed to be this way and supposed to do this. And so It's a little like, I try to keep myself real as well and be like, okay, you're doing the best you can. It's okay. Let's try and do better tomorrow, right?
Right. Well, and that's so important, because I think a part of your success comes out of having found your true authentic self and just being that. Mm-hmm. And that's what people gravitate towards. And then as you get successful, it's easy to suddenly become something that really is just part of an image, mm-hmm. right? Of that you should be perfect or whatever. And I know one of the things we like to explore on this podcast and talk about it are ideas around connecting with and discovering that authentic self within and bringing that out in the world. Do you find you had a journey with that as part of your healing and part of your success?
Mm-hmm. Completely. In the beginning, I felt I had to prove that I knew that I had the, you know, the experience and the background and the studies, and I was very formal, and then I kind of relaxed a little into who I am. But there's always a part of me that still feels that I could be more authentic or more real, but I'm also vulnerable to opinions and scared of I don't like reading, you know, negative comments, and there's always trolls online on the internet, especially on social media, right? And so it's, you know, it's funny, because when I was when I was like in fourth or fifth grade, I used to always cry about everything. People would bother me and I would cry. And the principal in the school would always tell my mom, that girl needs to become more thick-skinned. And I'm like, well, life just put me in front of millions of people, and now I really have to be thick-skinned. Like, I didn't learn my lesson in fourth grade. I have to learn it now, right? Because it's definitely been a life lesson to be thick-skinned and to understand that I'm not going to be able to please everybody, or not everybody's going to like me. And that's okay. Like, I have to like myself. And it's definitely been not an easy lesson to learn, right?
And at the same time, your success has come from that sensitivity, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. if you weren't sensitive, you wouldn't have gone down the path you went down. And yep. I feel like a lot of people, they think their sensitivity is a weakness and they need to get mm-hmm. stronger. But really, they yep. need to explore what that sensitivity is. And then it flowers into something. At least I know that was a path for me. I think it was for you too. Cody, you were really sensitive as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think once you learn to accept that sensitivity and understand what it is, it actually becomes your strength, yeah. right? There's this kind of misconception that, like in that term, being thick-skinned, like somehow you kind of distance yourself from that sensitivity, and yet that sensitivity is where your authentic self and your true sense of who you are resonates from. Mm-hmm. It's I think it's in that part of yourself, because to me, that part of yourself that's sensitive is that part that is the spiritual, that inner self that you would touch when you turn to spirituality mm-hmm. or meditate.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we almost named this podcast Two Sensitive Guys. But then someone said maybe marketing-wise it was not.
Well, I think that's where limits come in. And I think that's our biggest, the next lesson for all of us really in this work is limits, right? Limits on our energy, because it's something that since we don't perceive it with our eyes, like we don't see the energetic transactions going on, and the online world is so new and there's so much energy moving between the online like world that we can't even see.
Ethers.
And so I think that's exactly, that's where like limits, like proper limits to our energy and to our energetic fields have to.
I like how you said that, like energetic transactions that we don't see, because that's totally how I always look at it too. And I teach a class called Creativity and Telepathy, where the whole thing is about that. Like we're so inundated with information and energy online, you know, texting and emailing and Facebooking and everything in between. We don't realize the antennas that we are, and we absorb it all, and then we can't find our own bearings and our own creativity, and we get ungrounded. And I think almost everybody I know is going through that, and a little bit like in denial that it's happening, because like when it's happening to everybody, nobody really gets it or says anything and knows how to come out of it. It's like this trouble, like to unplug for a while and find yourself again. Can you tell us a bit about, like, I think you're just from talking to you, your passion is really in the spiritual work and meditation. Can you tell us a bit about what that teaching is for example, if like I came to a class with you or a course, like what kind of journey would we go on?
Well, one of the courses that I have is the teacher training for meditation teacher. And it's really, it's more of a life journey. It's actually, I mean, anybody can take it even if they don't want to become meditation teachers, right? Just for personal purpose. But the idea behind this is to really go on a kind of like a hero's journey, but to really explore all of your fears of your dark side that sometimes we don't want to see or we don't know how to see, and then explore relationships and explore creativity as well, which is also, so I love that you teach this on creativity, because it's something so important for me and just such a big part of my life. And I also infuse a lot of my courses with all this, and so it's a little of a finding the meditation teacher within you. It's not about memorizing or figuring out like what is a mantra or what are the benefits of meditation. I mean, we can pretty much Google that nowadays, right? And yeah. That does not make us teachers. Like what really makes us teachers is the path that we walked. And so it's really important for me to kind of accompany people, because I really can't teach them something that is already inside them. So I just go with them and show them the tools and the resources and things that have helped me and that have helped other people as well. And it's really been amazing to see the transformations. We just had our first generation graduate, and it was, I think, 150 teachers, 160. And it's just, it's mind-blowing. I'm really in love with it. I'm in love with who they've become and their transformation, just their stories, is even if it's online, because it's all 100% online. I mean, we have calls just like we're talking right now, right? And like we were speaking earlier, energy really has no limits anymore. And so it's really been an amazing transformation. And I'm really, really happy to bring into the world teachers that have really walked the path, right? That have really felt like that understand. Because one of my big issues was, I don't want to form meditation teachers that just talk about benefits or talk about something, but haven't really felt what the students are feeling. If the students felt what I felt, right? Like if somebody comes to the class feeling lost, like I did 10 years ago, right? I don't want to know about something that I have to memorize. I want somebody who can understand what I'm going through. So for me, it was very important for them to explore all of these different areas in order to just be more cracked open to what their students might bring. Not that they have to be therapists or anything like this, right? But just feel, like empathy, like feel what other people are feeling and have compassion for the journey that they're on as well.
And how long's the course?
It's 4 months.
Oh, wow. It's all online.
Yeah, it's all online. It's quite intense because it's emotionally intense and there's a lot of reading and we have audios and we have videos and we have calls and it's really a nice program. And yeah, it's 4 months long.
So MJ, your followers would know this, but I think just to clarify for our listeners, you focus on women mainly. Is that true? Mm-hmm. So is this course only for women or is it for anybody?
It's really for anybody.
Okay, good.
I don't know why I started the website just for women. And one of the biggest questions that I've gotten or one of the biggest comments that I've gotten recently is, men are really interested in this as well. And
right. We probably need more help.
We want to come on the hero's journey. We're heroes.
Right. But let's go back to that then. Like when you were, healing yourself and finding yourself, you made a decision at some point to really focus on women. Mm-hmm. What was your vision for that? And what was your goal? I mean, there's nothing wrong with, championing women and teaching entrepreneurship and growth and helping them. Focusing on that, but where were you coming from then and what's been your goal for women and women in business and empowering women?
One of the things that has, I started out when I just graduated as a health coach, I was doing detox programs, just helping people with nutrition. And one day I just felt very frustrated of knowing that, food does help you heal, but there's more to it than food, right? But as I was selling my detox programs way before I, about a year before I started Mujer Holística, one of the things that really killed me, which is something that I lived in my life as well, was the fact that in Latin America, a lot of women don't work, but they also, they have to ask their husbands for money for anything that they want to do, right? And a lot of my clients would one, ask me if I can please explain more so that they can explain to their husbands why this is important for them and or that they need to ask permission to do the course or to receive the money to do the course. And I would read a lot of emails and the process of asking for the money to do either a nutrition course or a self-development course was a whole process on its own for them. They had to justify why they needed the program that they needed, right? And a lot of the times I would see them suffering about it and say no, I can't do it. My husband didn't give me the money or da, da, da. And it's something that I lived when I was little in my family. And it's something that always just killed me, right? It's one of those things that when I was little and even today, it still kills me. I'm it's just the way in which we have to ask permission for something that is important is just didn't go with me. So I really wanted to empower women so that they could become entrepreneurs, make some money and have money on their own. And I know a lot of them, this is not I don't want to generalize. I'm just saying from the emails that I received that really got to me were the ones where they wanted to sometimes do the programs, but they didn't have the money to do it. And they had to ask for the money and it wasn't given to them. And this was just became this whole unempowerment type of thing, right? It lacked the power. The power was given over, was handed over. For the money. And so that really was something that I'm like, I need to change this. Like, I need to do something about this. And so that's where a lot of my entrepreneurship courses and a lot of this becoming meditation teachers, and I've given a lot of scholarships out as well for the health coaching program for a lot of different things, because I'm always trying to help women find something that they can make money out of, just so that they at least can feel that they have some money of their own. If they want to take a meditation course, or if they want to buy whatever it is they want to buy, that they have also some sort of income for themselves, right? Does that make sense?
Right. Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. And opening it up to men at this point, I mean, that's beside the point. You still have that core vision of empowering women in the beginning, but really anybody, to be able to take control of their life and their health and self-care and growth. I mean, that's, we all need to be empowered to take that step somehow. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the thing that holds us back is we don't have the permission to focus on ourselves and take care of ourselves in this world. So very beautiful.
And in terms of entrepreneurship, MJ, I think that's fascinating that you teach both spirituality and entrepreneurship. And Cody and I are super interested in both topics as well, and integrating them. And, you know, as we started this podcast and, you know, all the platforms that we do, it's almost inevitable as a teacher, as a meditation teacher, that you have to learn the art of business, because otherwise you're going to be a very lonely meditation teacher. How do you go about helping people on the entrepreneurship side when they become, maybe when they finish your course and they want to become an entrepreneur or a meditation teacher and start a business around it? How do you guide them through that process?
Well, one of the things, I have a couple of different areas within the entrepreneurship course. One of them is obviously the structures, right? Like your website and how to create online courses and how to do membership sites and programs and how to monetize. That's one part. But the other area that we really focus on for a few weeks actually is on mindset, the mindset of an entrepreneur, the fears that they might have around becoming an entrepreneur. And I try to help them see that everything is energy, right? And if everything is some sort of energy manifested, and a business has my energy in it, but it's also got its own independent soul. It has its own energy. It has its own purpose as well on this earth. Right. And so whatever, it's like a baby that is given to me without any beliefs on its own. And I help it form, like a seed that I put in the soil, and I water it and I help it grow into whatever form it needs to grow into, because it has its own life as well, right? It's an energetic manifestation. And one of the things that as entrepreneurs we tend to do is that we receive this baby or the seed, and we dump our beliefs around money, our beliefs around being accepted, our beliefs around leadership, our beliefs around fears, et cetera, and we dump it on our business. And so we form the business with the same fears and with the same limitations that we personally have, right? So what I try to do is help them see that their business has a soul of its own that needs to flourish, and your beliefs are your beliefs and they stay with you. But make sure that your business also has its own value system, its own beliefs, and that your work on your beliefs so that they don't diminish the size of whatever your business can grow into.
And if anyone's listening who is a meditation teacher or a health coach or does have that entrepreneurial drive and they want to start to reach a larger audience, which is something that you have mastered, how do you go about that when maybe you have like 10 Facebook friends or 100 or 500 Instagram followers? How did you build your brand out into so many followers, and what would the advice be to somebody who's just getting started to do that?
Well, when I started a couple of years ago, I think I was definitely lucky because there wasn't as many, there wasn't as much around meditation and spirituality and health. So that gave me a little bit more of an advantage. And I do see that it is more difficult now for other people starting out in this world to grow their business and their families. But I have a few like tips, and one of them is look for like guest posting, look for, you know, interviews, try and find ways to work with other people, like create relationships with other people and help each other out, which is something that sometimes we tend to think like, well, if I work with somebody who does the same thing that I do, then, you know, my clients are going to go with them, you know? So no, like more of a relationship, building through relationships is really, really, really important. And the second thing is always try and innovate, because I see a lot of like, I don't know, one detox program pops up and then 10 pop up behind it. And then there's 11, and 11 is a lot and you're not standing out, right? So look for something completely different that nobody else is doing. Like try and think ahead as to what is the next trend or what is coming next or what do people really want to know about, and look for innovation, look for creativity, bring creativity into the business, look for different ways of explaining what we already know or of different exercises, you know, like people will always be called into whatever is different and creative. I don't know.
So like how to differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
Interesting. And do you have like a weekly or monthly, do you do a podcast or is it just through courses? How does your audience connect with you?
I have a free meditation every Monday that I send via email. I've been doing that for about 2 years now. That is the main way in which they connect personally with me. I obviously, well, we post every day on social media and Instagram and Facebook. I do about once or twice a year, I do a big event where I do a series of videos for like 4 or 5 days in which I teach something, like little mini courses that are free. Like we do a lot of free events on the website. That's another good way to grow your business. And it's really helped me. We do a lot of just free events. Or challenges or whatever, like whatever I'm thinking of that month, I'm like, okay, free event. And so It's like a free event that you can follow through on social media, but it has a logic to it, right? It has like a step-by-step to it, not just a free post. It's actually something that you can get something out of it in the end, right? That you can really see a transformation by the end of it. I have a lot of free audios as well. I'm not really good at connecting the Facebook Live or Instagram Live. As you heard me say, I'm really more of a reserved person. And so I have a really hard time just popping in on Facebook Live. I don't really do Facebook Lives. I think I've done like 4 or 5. So most of my communication is via email, via audios, and yeah, written text.
And what are the topics, MJ, usually about? So that like weekly Monday meditation, is it a different topic every week? Does it always have to do with some level of spirituality or personal growth?
It's always different. We've done everything, really. We've done meditations on chakras. We've done like what is breath work, visualizing. Sometimes I choose, for example, gratitude. Or if there's a specific country that's been going through something, I don't know, some trouble within, then we do a meditation for that country. I try to bring some creativity into it, because sometimes I do think like, oh no, what am I going to speak about this Monday, right? But there's always something that you can find. And so, yeah, I try and do different meditations. Just, it's never the same, really. I mean, like I said, we can do maybe mantras one day, or maybe we can do around breathing, or we do visualizing, or I teach them about some technique that I learned about. It's always something completely different, but it's also part of expressing what I'm learning as I go, right? Or maybe mindfulness. A lot of what I do is also based around mindfulness. So I don't know. I bring mindfulness into everyday things. It's always different.
Wow.
Cool. How long do those meditations usually last?
About 10 minutes, 10, 20.
Cool.
Yeah, they're not too long, because they're especially made for people who are just starting out, for beginners. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to bore them either. So it's just 10 or 20 minutes. And I try and give them some background on why we're doing this meditation or why it's important. I also try and teach a lot around connecting to spirituality, connecting to God and source and love. And so I try and fuse it with a lot of just coming back to center.
Sign me up.
That's great. Yeah.
Amazing. MJ, so, well, we've covered a lot of ground, and I could probably ask you 100 more questions about entrepreneurship, but that would be selfish. As Cody and I build out our platforms as well. Do you ever teach in person? Can anyone find, where in the world is MJ? Can we find you in person?
Nope.
No.
No, not really. I do conferences. I've done a couple of workshops like in Mexico and Colombia and Costa Rica. Usually what I do is just public speaking or, well, my book is coming up in September.
Oh, wow.
My first book. Yeah. So I'm really excited. My book is based on the course that I told you about. That's the intro course to how to become a holistic woman. So I'm telling you, that course brought a lot of blessings, and it's amazing how when you really just give and you give without expecting anything, you get so much in return, right? So the book is around that, and it comes out in September, and I do have the book tour planned for the end of the year. But other than that, MJ tends to remain very, very hidden.
Elusive.
Yeah. Well, it's really, I'm not, like I said earlier, like it just doesn't go with me to do so many things. And I don't know, I really like spending time on my own and reading and just sharing when I find something that I really love and appearing when I do something that is important to me. But other than that, I try and remain super low.
What do you read? What do you like to read?
Oh my God, everything. Any book that just, I'm a bit addicted to books. That's one of the things that I have to learn to control. I tend to travel between like with 5 or 10 books.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of excess weight. But I read a lot on everything, really. Spirituality, meditation, anything.
Are there a few books that you would recommend to a beginner just kind of getting on the spiritual path that really help, you know, transform your life or bring you to some kind of awareness?
Anita Morjani's Dying to Be Me is one of my favorite books of all time.
I haven't heard of that.
Dying to Be Me. Oh, you have to read that. It's amazing, amazing, amazing book about her near-death experience and what she's experienced during this time and how she cured herself from cancer pretty much from one day to the next after being almost dying, right? And it's just an amazing experience of what she saw on the other side, because I love Wayne Dyer as well. So a lot of what Wayne Dyer talks about, and he was the one who also got in touch with Anita Morjani and asked her and said, I'm going to back this book up because it's just an amazing experience. So Dying to Be Me is definitely on the list. It's like my number one favorite book. And then I love anything, like I love A Course in Miracles, and Anatomy of the Spirit is also a really important book.
That Caroline Miss?
Yeah, Caroline Miss, Anatomy of the Spirit. And Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth was really important at the beginning of my journey as well.
Yeah, mine too. Can you tell us a little bit about A Course in Miracles? Because you mentioned that when we kind of in the beginning of the interview, like sometimes you just read a passage from that. What exactly is A Course in Miracles?
A Course in Miracles is a metaphysical text that teaches how to just change your perception about life, right? It kind of... it explains that anything, and I'm being very brief here, and I'm definitely not the expert on A Course in Miracles, but everything that we perceive is ego, but the truth, the only truth, right, is God and love. And so anything else is a misperception of the way we see things. And it's just, I'm a student in A Course in Miracles. I'm not, I definitely don't feel like I can teach based on it yet, because I'm still learning from it. And it's a very dense book, and it's a very thick book as well. And so there's a lot of learning behind it and a lot of exercises, but it's definitely kind of one of my go-to books when I feel down or when I feel like I'm just not aligned with love. Or it's funny because, like I said, the past year and a half has been tough for me as I grow and as things get busy, and I've kind of, my self-care has been less than before. And I was thinking back a couple of months ago, when was the time when I really felt like I was the most spiritually fulfilled and happiest and just mostly connected to God. And it was when I was really a strong student of A Course in Miracles. And so now I'm trying to, and then I just left it. Like, I don't know. I left it and I didn't want to go anywhere near it for a while. And now I'm like, well, it really did help me when it really made me feel better. So now I'm starting to go back to it. And I don't know, I think there's so many different paths and so many different books and texts and beliefs. And this is just one that has helped me feel more connected to God and to love.
And it's an entire series of books, right? It's not just one book.
It's like a 3-in-1. It's one book in itself, and it's a thick book, but it's divided in 3 sections. The teachers, yeah, the text, the daily exercises, and the teacher's manual.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you for those.
Yeah. Marian Williamson teaches based on A Course in Miracles. So I usually, when people ask me about it, I say go to read A Return to Love, which is another one of my favorite books. Read A Return to Love, and that's the basic principles of The Course in Miracles, and then you can just take it from there.
Williamson.
Yeah, Marian Williamson.
Yeah, she's probably one of the best known teachers mm-hmm. of A Course in Miracles. Yep. She really has discovered a way to take that information and share it in a way that many, many people can have. Mm.
And that's something that has helped me a lot too. Like, Marianne does weekly lectures for free. And you can pay if you want for the membership just to listen to them and the recordings. And I listen to them a lot. Every morning I try and put one as soon as I wake up and just listen to one of the lectures, because it just reminds me of that, to go back. And it's my way of just finding my center again.
MJ, do you dream? What do you do when you fall asleep? Are you somebody that has these vivid, wild, lucid, astral experiences and then come back to Earth?
No, but I wish I did. Sometimes I do, but usually when I do, it's nightmares. Oh, I don't know. I haven't been able to connect with my dreams as much as I would want to. I'm a very light sleeper, and I've always had a lot of issues with anxiety and you know what? I have to admit this. I've been working on allowing myself to go deeper into areas of the unknown, because I do have a very open, you're the expert in this, but sensitivity, but I do block it out of fear ever since I was very little. Just block it and block it and block it. And it's something that I'm learning how to trust that I'm going to be okay. And I'm not going to, nothing is going to happen to me if I do allow myself to feel into those unknown things that I don't understand, maybe. Yeah. But that's why I told you earlier before we started recording that I would love to find out more about what you teach as well.
We learn to unlock it instead of block it.
Exactly. That's what I need. That's what I need. I'll be contacting you. That's what I need.
Yeah, then you'll be having crazy dreams every night, all night. Like, what the hell is going on? I want to go back. Put me back in the matrix.
Well, I want to be able to trust that. Exactly. I'm working on my fears around feeling all that and being okay with that.
I think a lot of intuitive people, right, Cody? We all go through that process. It's almost unavoidable because we're afraid of the energy that is already mm-hmm. there. So it's not... This is what I've noticed with a lot of people. They're already experiencing what they think they're blocking, but they're just experiencing it as some kind of resistance or frustration. But really, when you look a little bit closer at the actual energy, there's much more going on there. They're being so intuitive. And maybe they're absorbing everybody else's, stuckness or frustration or fear. And they just experience it as anxiety. I feel like that's the number one. Anxiety and stress are the number one and two energies that everyone I talk to is working on when I go and teach and lecture. But when I look a little closer at them and kind of go deeper with them into their lives, it's always something that has more to do with other people's energy and being aware of other people's energy and how they're absorbing it. And we just, it's like this default thing to call it stress and anxiety. I'm like, you're not just stressed, you're super psychic or intuitive, and you're you're becoming aware of all this energy in the world and you're becoming the effect of it. And so some people could hear it that way, some people not. So it kind of depends on the person, you know, what language I would use. But I think we're all in that boat.
You're right there, David. All of us, I think, are sensitive to energy. Where I shouldn't say all of us, many of the people that come to me seeking information about how to open up are already sensitive to energy. Mm-hmm. And what they really need is a way to kind of find their space and manage that sensitivity so that then it feels comfortable to open up. And so we teach, you know, some tools to do that, some awareness techniques, and you know, learning how to handle your own sensitivity is what then allows you to feel safe to open up. Mm-hmm. Because when you do open up to become aware of what, in many cases, you're already becoming the effect of, there's kind of a paradox there. Yeah. But when you open up to really let that awareness in, there is a certain space where you kind of have to let go, and it's a vulnerability there. You're really letting go of control. And so many people have, their only coping with mechanism for their sensitivity has been just to try to clamp down and control everything. Yep. That it's a big hurdle to step back and go, okay, I'm going to just let go of this control and really open up to see what's there. Mm-hmm. And which is why I think in order to do that, it's really good to find a guide, to find a teacher, to find some kind of a sustainable practice, so that you can open up, you know, over time in stages, and kind of understand what's happening to you as you go through the
process. And in a safe way, you know. Absolutely. I think a lot of people, when they come towards spirituality, they hit the woo-woo, or they hit like, it's just, there's so many teachers out there. There's so much information and it's so overwhelming. And for me, when I look at it, a lot of it is like actually not very safe. Like the process is too fast or whatever it happens to be. The teacher is just a little off, especially when it comes to like intuitive, like healers, right? A lot of them, you go to them and they've got crazy eyes and it's just like too much bling. And there's just too much going on and it turns a lot of people off. And the way I've always looked at it is like, why do you have to change who you are? You could just be your normal self and do some kind of healing work or be intuitive. It doesn't have to get weird or in some wild direction, you know. Do you find?
I completely agree. And right. You know, nobody comes near me now. No, like only the one teacher that I told you about that she does healing work, maybe two or three. That I completely trust. But one of the things that I find is when we're just starting out, anybody that says, hey, I align my chakras. Oh, can you align my chakras? You know, like, hey, I'm into, oh, you know, like we're right there, right on the healing bed and like, you know, do your magic. And you can really, really, really get, hit yourself hard and you never know who you're opening up to, and you never know what might be going on in their world that you might absorb and whatever. And it's definitely now I learned, I had a few and I learned my lesson and I'm like, I was really, really sick. Yeah. There was one time that I got super, super, super sick, like fever for 10 days after healing session. And it was definitely not the good kind of fever, like a detox. And it was terrible. And after that one time, I said, that's it. Like, I learned my lesson. I don't have to go to everybody that's announced on every single magazine that can help me cure, like, whatever, or align my chakras. And I really need to take care of my energy and who I open up to and who I trust that to come near me as well.
Absolutely. I've had that experience too. I'm sure you have, Cody. I mean, I had one guru in India touch all my chakras. I think that's what he was touching. And
I had someone come to me who had an experience like what you had, David, with the guru, and she was sick for years afterwards. You know, like it threw her off to where she became very ill, and then it took a couple of years to get back to where she was. And she came to me, and I did some healing work with her. But it was fascinating, her journey from that kind of Kundalini opening that she wasn't really ready for, but was put upon.
And away, like I knew right away the next morning, I knew something was not right. Like it just, everything was off. My thoughts were like really dark, and like just everything about my physical body and about my mental thoughts, everything was completely off. The only thing I would say to myself is like, who am I? Like, what is going on? Is this not normal? And I was in Bali, and I called one of my healers in Costa Rica, and I just said, this is really important. Something happened to me. I don't know what happened to me, but I have never in my life thought the things that I am thinking right now or had the feelings that I have. And I know it's not normal. It's just not me. And she helped me right away. And it was definitely a slow process to, you know, I was so weak after that. So weak. And I really had to bring my energy levels back up, and yeah, it was never again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if something like this has happened to you before, MJ. Like I remember the first time I posted something online for people to listen to, and I woke up at like 2 a.m. and I could feel like there was 100 people in my head. And I just looked at my email, and it was like like 10 minutes before it had posted, I already had like hundreds of streams. And I remember like the energy flooding in, just like, oh, whoa, that's a lot of attention. Yours is times 1,000 of that. Have you ever noticed that actually happen to you, where you're just like, what is that? And then there's just like this wave of attention.
Completely. In the beginning, when I would post Instagram photos, it was like, I would post it and not notice anything. And then I'm super sensitive. So I would start feeling like, I don't know, like just not myself, and ill. Really like, yeah, ill. I would start feeling ill. And I don't know why. You'd have to help me with this, but I would start feeling ill. And then I would be like, wait, didn't I just post that photo where I was actually like maybe doubting it or feeling vulnerable or maybe whatever. And yeah, completely connected to whatever, because like we said before, it's still energy. And even though we can't see it, and even though we believe it's in the internet, it's still energy and frequency and exchange that is going on. And yeah, I definitely can feel it. And it's like I said, it's something that I've been learning to deal with. And it's not an easy lesson at all. It's not easy for me, at least. It has not, maybe for somebody else, but for me, it has not been an easy.
And you're also dealing with such large audiences that the energy, like the waves are bigger. So you have a bigger lesson, you know. And Cody, you've said this to me before, there's like the growth period that you go through, the growth that you go through as a student, but then there's a different kind of growth that you go through as a teacher, and it looks different than what your students are going through because it is different. Mm-hmm. And so there's less people around you kind of going through that with you, and you're like, what is this one now?
And not only that, I have 4 employees, and I'm responsible for them, and I'm responsible for paying the bills, and I'm responsible for paying them on time. And so without me, without my services, we don't generate the income needed to sustain what I have, right? And so that has created a lot of anxiety or pressure on me as well, because the last thing I want to do is you know, be late on a payment or, you know, not help my employees. And now, again, learning to trust, because I am a very abundant person and I do receive a lot, and I have a lot of savings because I'm always very cautious. But there's always that little fear, like that thing of, am I doing this right? Am I running my business correctly? Could my business be doing better? And then there's always a million opinions right around me, like, oh, MJ, why didn't you do that? You should have done that. And it's like everywhere. And that's when I need to go back to my quiet. That's why my quiet time is so important, especially now, especially in the past couple of months. So important, because otherwise I can just get thrown off, like, oh, so-and-so said I should have done a launch. And so-and-so said, like, how could I have sent that email? And, you know, and like the conversion rate was low or was too high or whatever. I don't know. And so, yeah. And that kind of things just can completely throw you off, and can also go into the whole social media, like the tie your approval of yourself to the amount of likes that you receive, which is something I was speaking to my best friend just right before your call. I said, you know, I posted a photo of myself working on my book, and I didn't look good. And like, it was just a photo of, you know, when you're writing a book, you don't look, and you're on a deadline, you don't exactly look your best. But it was on my book and how it had been such a vulnerable journey to write it. And I posted that about a month ago on Instagram. And one of my good friends that he doesn't even live in the same country called me and said, how could you post that photo? You look terrible. You look horrible. I scrolled through my newsfeed and I said, like, who is this woman? Like, what is she doing on my newsfeed? And then I realized it was you. And here I am in the middle of like finishing my book with a deadline. And obviously I start crying and I'm like, oh my God. And after that, it was like something just twisted in me. And now I'm so cautious of what I post. And again, I have to do the work to be able to be authentic again, because those kind of things just make me like clump up. Like I completely close up and nobody come near me. Nobody talk to me. I'm not posting anything, you know, because it hurts. And I'm very sensitive to this. And so now I was just talking to my best friend about it. I was saying, you know, slowly I'm starting to like post photos again and say like, you know, it's okay. And you don't have to look perfect in them. And nobody will call you telling you you look horrible again. Like, right. Because it's definitely a process that it's an everyday, just like everything else. It's an everyday journey, right? It's an everyday step-by-step getting back on track, aligning yourself, being like, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to not look perfect. For me, it's a everyday step, one step at a time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There won't be any criticism of you here, MJ.
Thank you, guys.
No invalidation in this bubble, in this Energy Matters bubble. It's an invalidation-free zone.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if social media were one of those places where we didn't need to worry about, well, I mean, my photos are not professional and I take myself and my videos are not professional and I really try and make it a purpose not to worry so much about looking perfect and just worry about whatever message I have to.
And it's working.
Sure.
About just being authentic. Yeah. And that's what works. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
And MJ, how can everyone listening today find you on Facebook or website, courses?
Yep. We're on Facebook as and Instagram and website as Mujer Holística, MUJER space HOLISTICA, Mujer Holística with an H. And it's all in Spanish. And well, maybe one day when I have the time, I will begin a website in English. But for now, it's all in Spanish.
Well, maybe coming on this show and doing it in English is a step towards that. You're going to get flooded with people going, can you please do it in English?
Google Translate's
coming out weird.
It's like God is telling me to do it in English now because life is telling me, because for the past 2 months, it's been like English interviews, English people asking about it in English. So it's definitely something that I need to explore. Maybe not as big, maybe just something like a small blog. But I definitely, it's something that a lot of people have asked me for recently.
And your course, you have a new meditation teacher training course starting June 15th. Everyone can find that through your website. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well,
we're launching our new website soon. So that's exciting.
Okay. And then we can find you on Instagram and Facebook, and that's where you do a lot of posting and different things.
Yeah. Every day we post on Instagram and Facebook. Well, I have an Instagram and account for Mujer Holística, and then I have my own personal one. And that's just MJ FLAQUE, like my last name, MJ Flaque. And that's just more personal. That's just me, whatever, wherever I am in the world. That's
writing
the only place
where,
that's the only place where anybody knows where I am. Usually my family is like, where are you? And I'm like, don't you follow me on Instagram?
You know, I just posted a photo of me writing my book while I'm in Amsterdam.
Exactly. Like, do I really have to tell you where I am? Just look it on Instagram. No.
Awesome, MJ. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. You're just an incredible light to this world, and you are so inspiring. Yeah. And everyone, you can find her at mujerholistica.com. And thanks for being on, MJ.
No, thank you guys. Thank you for everything. It was an amazing experience and interview.
And thank you just for being so open and honest and sharing with us. That was really great.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, great episode. Do you realize that we record this conclusion, this outro, before we do the episodes?
No, we don't. Nobody's making fun of me for saying that in the intro of this episode. That was really cool, though. MJ's amazing, and if you listen to the whole thing, then you know that she when we recorded this, she was in Amsterdam on her way to Spain. She has a place in Costa Rica and spends time in Bali. And isn't that a nice way to live? And I think she's such an inspiration when it comes to all the challenges she overcame with her personal health and then turned that into a teaching and then helped all these women in Central and South America to begin to really empower themselves when it comes to business, spirituality, you know, entrepreneurship, and teaching meditation tools. So I was very impressed with her and her authenticity, just candidness, you know, no guarded energy whatsoever. She's just such a light and a delight to talk to. So, and hopefully she lets me come stay and visit in Costa Rica.
Or Bali.
Or Bali. MJ, if you're listening to the outro here, can we visit?
And you're welcome anytime in Colorado. Come explore the Rocky Mountains.
You're welcome to come stay with me and my mom anytime in New Jersey.
That was a really fun interview. That it just flowed very well. As we could have talked forever with her. She's really easy to talk with. And, you know, I can see where she's so personable, where her message and just her teachings have spread so rapidly. And it's great to see someone who made a decision of what they wanted to have happen, kind of visualized it and made it happen, right? That she created her mock-up, her vision, that she wanted to be able to travel and be free to go anywhere in the world and teach and do her thing from wherever. And she made it happen. And yeah. I really enjoyed hearing about that, her process and her journey with that, as well as her journey to health. So what a great interview. Hope you all enjoyed it. Thank you for being here. And I think David has some commercial stuff to do.
Yes, every episode of Energy Matters is brought to you by intuitivevision.net, Cody site, and groundedmind.com, mine. So thank you guys all for being here, listening, being playful, growing with us. And we'll see you next time. Take care.
See you next time on Energy Matters.
You've been listening to the Energy Matters podcast with Cody Edner and David Gandelman. Brought to you by intuitivevision.net and groundedmind.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or soundcloud.com.